So as we, Lord, we want your kingdom to come here today. As we talk about your kingdom yet again, that you would just make that real to us through Kevin. I pray that you would just that you use his tongue and his heart and his mind, all for the purpose of blessing us, that we'd be blessed as well. I want you to say this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi.
Hi,
Kevin.
How's it
going? You know, it's like playing in the minors and getting called up for the hometown team every time I come here to preach. You know, it's like, so yeah, I am a little nervous. You know,
I had to throw you in the phone. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good.
For your sisters, Kevin.
Yeah.
Don't trip, man.
That's right.
Yeah. So I have a question for you guys. And those of you who are a little bit more well-versed, don't shout out the answer right away, but does anybody know what the Bible verse Matthew 6:33 is? Just off the top of your head.
Keep saying it.
It has something to do with the kingdom.
Jessica?
Jessica?
Don't worry.
That's part of it.
See?
See? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, so Matthew 6:33 is seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and these will be added to you. See, Danielle and I have this little framed chalkboard in our kitchen, and she came up with this really cool idea of taking and writing down a verse of the week to just leave on this chalkboard during the week to just kind of help motivate us spiritually throughout our daily lives, you know? And every now and then when one really sticks, it'll be up there for a couple of weeks. This one's been up there for about a month and a half, almost 2 months. And this one really has me searching for answers. Like, what exactly is the kingdom of God? See, I'm pretty new when it comes to this life of following Jesus. And there are a lot of things that I don't understand and that I don't have the answers to. So when something from Jesus really starts tugging at me and keeping me awake at night, I know that I really need to get to the bottom of it and figure out what it is. So I started asking around, asking other people from here and asking other people that I know. And I had one guy that just started telling, when I asked him, you know, what is the kingdom of God? He said, well, there's two kingdoms. I'm going, well, that doesn't sound right, but okay, continue. He's like, there's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of God. And as he kept talking, it's like somebody reached inside my head, grabbed the volume knob, and started turning it down. Like, literally, I could see his mouth moving, but I couldn't hear him. And the same thing happened to Danielle. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you think there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God?
No.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think the relation is? Anybody got any ideas?
They're the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The answer that I have found and believe to be true is that there's no difference between the two. Just simply two different ways to refer to the same thing. Just like when I pray. You know, I'll either start out a prayer with Father or God, and I'll pray for what's on my heart, and in the end, I'll say in Jesus' name. I'm using three different names to speak to the same person. Now, with that said, what exactly is the kingdom? And I think the answer to that is dependent on which scripture you're reading, depending on the writer, because I think we all have our own views of what kingdom actually is. But I tried to narrow it down to make it pretty easy for me to understand, because I don't understand a lot of this. I make a lot of phone calls and ask a lot of people, and I get all kinds of different opinions, and then I formulate my own because it's my relationship with Jesus, you know. And what I came up with is the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts, spirits, and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority and acknowledge the fact that Jesus died for us and our sins so that we can be part of his spiritual kingdom. So when we seek first the kingdom of God, we are seeking to establish Jesus in the hearts of everyone we meet. We as followers of Christ are the imperfect, and I say imperfect because the only true perfect one out there is Jesus, is God, is the Holy Spirit, right? But we are the imperfect examples of the kingdom of God. And as we raise up disciples of Jesus, we ourselves are raised up. So, a couple of weeks back in staff, I kind of had this idea, and I brought it to staff of, you know, how exactly are we seeking the kingdom of God, right? As a whole. And in the meeting, before I got to do all this, I kind of got this vision in my head of all of us doing kind of different things.
So, started out with all of us as a whole, but I'm not going to use that broad form. I'm going to use me as an example, okay? So me as a whole, right? I need to stay in line with God and with Jesus, right? But when I start to worry, I start going this way. I start worrying about bills. I go this way. I'm going in every direction except for the consistent path that I need to be going down. And all that does, when I'm out here and out here and out here, is all that does is leave room for that enemy to come right back in and attack me right in the center, right at my heart.
Fill me full of doubt. Fill me full of anxiety and worry. So, would somebody mind reading? Can we go back into Matthew? And start at 6:25 and read it to the end.
Page 811.
Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more than value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
So, what that entire passage is telling me, and what I think it's telling all of us, is don't do that. Don't worry about your bills. Don't. Can I single you out?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is awesome. So you and Kendra have been looking for a place to live, right? And one day Daniel and I came into to Billy's, had some lunch, and sat down. What did I say to you?
Trust God and rely on the community.
What happened?
Got a place. Awesome.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any other testimonies or something like that? I have nothing but testimonies of what Jesus can do for the past 3 years, but I think it'd be really cool. Yeah.
I was really struggling with my addiction, and I had just gotten custody of my kids back, and I was having a really hard time keeping them and staying sober. And a friend let me stay with her when no one else would, and I had been suggested that I go to the faith house and try that, and I was really adamant against it because people were my kids, and I wouldn't even entertain the thought. And essentially, this friend looked at me and said basically the same thing, you know, why not? Like, and I gave all these reasons, and I had all these, you know, like, it wouldn't work, and this and that, and all the concerns, and all the worries, and the anxiety. And she said, you just need to have faith and trust God, and it's a good place. And, you know, and so I did it, and it's been the most amazing thing I've made in my entire life.
That's awesome. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay. See, God knows that we need all of those things. God knows that we need food to eat, that we need a roof over our head, that we need clothes to wear, you know. But God doesn't care about, like, name brands or anything like that, you know. It's just, as long as you're clothed and you're not running around the streets naked, you're not in jail and you're good, right? So God knows that we need these things, and God has provided, has promised to provide us with everything we need, but His idea of what we need is often different than ours, and His timing will only occasionally meet our expectations. So, did God's timing happen as quickly as you wanted it to?
You know, after, because I was stressed about it for like months, and once I finally just like had that faith and just surrendered that, you know, I had a couple plan Bs, you know, things didn't work out the way I wanted to, something was going to happen. Once I like felt that in my heart that I was okay with what was next, with whatever it would be, boom, we got a place, like just like that. It was just like that. It was just a matter of like opening up my heart to like just whatever God has planned for me, and things worked out like they were supposed to.
That's awesome. What about you?
I think once I made the decision and then turned it over to God, like, you know, kind of put that anxiety to rest about the should I not, and then kind of just explode naturally, pretty naturally, like, you know, not that it hasn't been difficult, but I think like Jess said, like, the solutions present themselves without me having to run around crazy trying to find them. They kind of just appear.
See, I remember when I was in the trust, and, you know, Danielle got out of jail. She was living at her parents. I was living here. And then I made the decision to get baptized. And then we made the decision to get married. And we made the decision collectively together to live life the way that God would want us to live it now. See, with my baptism, I took that whole being reborn thing pretty literally. And after I was baptized and after we got married, we still continued to live apart. As hard as it was, I remember many, many days sitting down at Billy's or in the park across the street just praying, God, why can't we get a breakthrough with this place to live? Well, you know, God's timing didn't meet my expectations in that. But when we, you know, we totally surrendered, and then all of a sudden, boom, we had a place, you know, and it was pretty awesome. Now, for the second part of this verse, That one's confused me more than the first part. You know, and His righteousness. Like, with the, again, the what question. What is righteousness? And honestly, I don't know. See, I was really cool with just ending this whole sermon right there. A few sentences ago. Seeking the kingdom. I'm cool. I'm out. All right? But, I mean, just really, so I wouldn't have to look at this part of the verse, because I don't understand righteousness. I don't understand what it is. And so, you know, when in doubt, pray. So I prayed. When confusion sets in, pray for clarity. You know, when I really started feeling inadequate and discouraged about even being able to do this sermon, I prayed. You know? And it really wasn't until that I sat down with Pastor Mike and prayed with him that I finally got somewhere. You know, and as we sat there, we didn't really go into the prayer with an agenda. We just said, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, why don't you show us what you want us to see about God's righteousness? And as soon as we started, right away, I got this word defend in my head. Defend. Not as like God is defending us as the defender, but like we're supposed to stick up for the name of Jesus. See, right now, you know, I don't know how many people watch the news, but we're living in some pretty trying times. There's a lot of ugliness going on, and Jesus' name, unfortunately, isn't at the front of it like it should be, you know? And it's up to us, as followers of Jesus, to bring it back. it's up to us to get that name back out there. You know? And what Mike got was really beautiful. You know, that was just my own thing. It's just like, you know, hey, we need to put Jesus's name back where it belongs, right in the front of everything. It needs to be in the beginning of everything that we do. I get up in the morning, pour a cup of coffee, sit down with a devotional, put, you know, hi. God needs to be before us.
Hi.
And yeah, exactly, Bob first. And the thing that came to Mike is pretty beautiful. I asked him to type it out and send it in an email so I could make it a part of this. And so I'm gonna read you what he wrote. Mike says, "So the thing that came to me about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness was that this was similar to the Lord's Prayer. When we say, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done,' they're saying the same thing, because God's kingdom will be wherever his will is being done, because he is king. And doing this, in doing his will, what it looks like for us to serve our king. So in the case of Matthew 6:33, seeking God's righteousness is equal to seeking to do his will, because he is always right. So if I am seeking to do his righteousness, I am seeking his kingdom." So with that, before I finish up, I kind of wanted to play at least the audio of a video that Alan played a while ago that just kind of, it really brings it home when I am seeking the kingdom of God and admitting that Jesus is my king. He is the one that I want to follow. He is the one that I want to submit to.
And before I start this,
Jesus, you are our king. You are my king. And it is you that I choose to follow. You are the greatest redeemer, the greatest healer, and the greatest person this world has ever known. In Jesus' name.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know it? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He taught and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His reign is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him clear. He's indescribable. He
Us from our sins, you know, and we are to seek the things of God, Jesus, as a priority over the things of this world. And when you use the term seek doesn't mean to look for something that is not present. The kingdom of God is here, it is at hand, it is with us. Thanks, guys.